I'm in John chapter 20, and specifically verse 19 through 23. As you turn there, and as you find the place there, at John chapter 20, verse 21, let me put it this way. I believe that this is one of the most relevant and important verses for us as followers of Jesus today that we could find anywhere. If we understand what the Lord is saying to us in John 20, 21, this will govern and change who we are, where we go, what we do, and why we do it. Let me tell you and give you the setting very quickly. And this is the very first evening of Jesus' resurrection. And it's almost like Jesus has made a beeline from the grave to be with his disciples to share this urgent message with them. Of course, he loves them and he wants to be with them. And I find personally, at least in my own walk, those chapters before his going to Calvary are to me some of the most precious and meaningful. Few places in the scripture have had such a personal and deep impact on me personally in my walk as John 14 through 17. As Jesus explains what's been going on and what's about to happen, and we just get this up until that point, it seems like an unprecedented view. He pulls back the curtains in those chapters to explain so much that's been going on the whole time. So much of where his heart is and why he's doing what he's doing and what's about to happen and the Holy Spirit coming and why. And they are terrified at the idea of Jesus going away, but he explains, no, I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And so much he unpacks in those chapters, John 14 through 17. And then he goes to Calvary. And all the disciples, they run, they split. And he dies alone. And he's buried. And he raises from the dead. And on Easter morning, it wasn't Easter morning. It's Easter morning now because that's the one. Okay, that's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to let it go. On the morning of his resurrection, he appears first to the women. And then, you know, Peter and John find the empty tomb. But here is the very first evening, and he's made a beeline now to get to where his disciples are, and they are hiding and afraid. They are locked up in the room. You see it there in verse 19. The evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews. And they're not just locked in the room, they're locked in their fear. They're locked in their grief. They're locked in their guilt and in their shame for having run. They are locked in meaninglessness. Think about what has happened over the past 3 years of their lives and where they thought that was going. And then all of a sudden to them, even though Jesus had said to them, it was totally unexpected and out of the blue. Out of all they've experienced, and now their Jesus is gone. And they are locked in fear because they know they're next. And in grief because of the loss of their friend and their rabbi and their Lord. And they're locked in guilt and shame because they knew they abandoned him. And they're locked in meaninglessness because everything that they thought was going to happen is now off the table. And they don't know what's next. Survival is the only possibility for them. They're locked in this room and they are very alone together. And literally, out of nowhere, Jesus came and stands among them. Verse 19, the rest of the verse there. Jesus came and stood among them. There was no door that he went through. He walked through the walls. They were locked in all of that fear and grief and guilt and shame and meaninglessness and walls and doors. And he walked right through all of that and he stood right there among them. And he says, peace be with you. And they were stunned and paralyzed in terror and disbelief. They were absolutely paralyzed. I mean, imagine what that would be like. And now all of a sudden, Jesus, he doesn't just appear in some cloud hovering above them or off in the corner. You know, there's a shadow on the wall. And could that be Jesus? It was nothing like that at all. It was literally the body, the raised body of Jesus, who they had seen beaten and mocked and crucified. And now the body of Jesus is alive and standing right there among them in the room. And he says, "Peace be with you." And they're terrified and paralyzed with fear. And they cannot believe what they're seeing. No one moved, and I bet no one breathed. But then Jesus showed his ID. He says, "Well, look, it's me. Look, you see my hand, you see my side, look at my feet." And they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And here he is with us, he is the Lord. Was there ever a time, can you think of a scenario in which it could possibly be more clear that Jesus is the Lord, right? I mean, think about it. They had seen him beaten and mocked and abused and crucified and buried, and now he is standing among them. And when they saw the Lord, they were overjoyed. Oh, that we would see the Lord. And we would see the Lord and be filled with joy. Don't you need that? Don't we need that as believers? We need to see the Lord. And we need to be filled with joy. Why do we drudge through, you know, the daily tasks and routines and the shopping lists and the plans that we have? And this year we did this, last year, so we're going to do it this year. And we can kind of go through these cycles and cycles and cycles and cycles. And isn't it true that what we need most of all the time, every day, is to see the Lord and to be filled with joy? Don't you know the Lord wants you to see him? He's not hiding from any of us. As we start our day saying, "Lord, I want to see you. Would you stand here among us, my family here? Would you stand here among us as we worship? Would you let me see you today? I want to be filled with joy seeing the Lord." Well, Jesus makes sure that they heard him. He says it for a second time. It wasn't just a hello. He didn't just say, "Peace be with you," as just sort of a casual greeting. He said it again. Now that they are overjoyed, I mean, imagine, they were holding their breath when they saw him the first time. And then he shows them his wounds, and then they just take a deep breath, and they are just overjoyed. What would the room have been like? Would they just erupt into shouts and praises? Would they start running around? Would they fall over? Would some sit down? Would they embrace him? I don't know, but they just breathe, right? They just take this deep breath, and he says it again. I don't want you to miss what I told you to start with. Peace be with you. And they understood he's the Prince of Peace. Peace himself is right there with them. And then he says, I think one of the most important, relevant statements for us to hear today that we can find. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, what I want this morning is for that statement to be just laid down in the smack in the middle of all of your thoughts and attention, your plans for the day, your plans for your life, your perspectives for who you are and why you are and what you're doing, everything that you think and see that I do, where I go, everything. That statement needs to be just laid down right in the middle of your work, of your home, of your activity, of your TV watching, of your shopping, of your everything. This needs to be laid down right in the middle of it all. As the Father, Jesus says, has sent me, I am sending you. Think about that phrase. I am sending you. What a gloriously profound, vague statement that is. If you got a card in the mail that said, "I am sending you," period. But it's meant to draw us in and pay attention. It is profoundly and gloriously vague. Let me tell you one of the reasons why I think this is especially important for us at Northridge Church. I think there is a unique danger. It's not doesn't have to be fatal, but there's a unique risk that we have as a Christian and Missionary Alliance church who is passionate for world missions. And it is our perception of ourselves as senders. Let me explain what I mean. I know that we have a role as senders. And we have a history and a heritage as a church as senders. A moment ago, we stood together and we lifted our hearts and our voices to the Lord as senders for John and Samantha. And so there's truth to that. But listen, all of us who claim Jesus as Lord must recognize that we are not primarily senders. According to the command of the Lord, we are sent. All of us. We have a role as senders, but we are not primarily senders. According to the command of the Lord, we are sent. There is this decision that we have to make. Will we relegate or we celebrate? That's kind of how we see it. Like, will we relegate our great commission, our call, to be disciples who make the Lord Jesus known? Will we relegate that to a few among us, viewing some as maybe having, you know, more to give or not as much to lose, perhaps? I don't think that's really the attitude that I see very often around here. But on the flip side, there's another one that happens. It's where we're going to celebrate it. And we're going to recognize those that we send as the modern heroes of the church. And in either case, whether we relegate the job that we have as the ones who are sent to some who, you know, that's what they'll do. We'll write the checks, we'll pray the prayers, they'll go do it. Or we, if you have the attitude where, well, we'll celebrate. We'll say, aren't they wonderful? Aren't they special? Aren't they unique? Isn't it amazing what they can do? In either case, we're getting out of the role that we've been given by the Lord. Because our call is not to relegate our mission or to celebrate our mission in someone else. Our call is to go. Because we're not primarily senders, but sent. So the question that we've got to get into, when Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, what we tend to want to know first is, where are you sending me? And I want to just point out, that's not the main issue here. That should not be the main question, is not, where are you sending me? It's an important question, but the main question is here given to us by the Lord himself. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So our main question should be, how did the Father send Jesus? How has the Father sent Jesus? Because however the Father sent Jesus into the world, that is the way in which Jesus is sending us. Now, I cannot and will not explain to you this morning the full nature in which the Father sent Jesus, his Son. If you spent the entire year ahead just seeking to understand the Father's ways in sending his Son into the world, and if you understand that that is the same way in which you are sent, I can promise you these two things. Number one, you will not exhaust all there is to be discovered about the way in which the Father sent Jesus into the world. You could spend the rest of your life searching through the scriptures to understand how was it exactly. What's the nature of the Father sending the Son into the world? And you're not going to exhaust all there is to be discovered about that. Number two, your life will change forever. If you were to give yourself to understand how the Father sent Jesus into the world, the nature of that, what's included, what's involved with the Father sending Jesus into the world, your life will change forever. If you understand, that's the way that Jesus sends you into the world. I will give you a hint. You could search through the whole scripture. You'll see it all over the place, how the Father sent his Son into the world. But I'll tell you, one place that I highly suggest you start is in John 17:18. John 17:18, Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer to the Father, and we are given this extraordinary, unprecedented, private glimpse. The curtain is pulled back as we hear the Lord Jesus praying to his Father. In John 17:18, he says this, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And that ought to be a gigantic clue for us. This is ground zero. This is the place where we ought to be able to see what Jesus talks to the Father about how the Father sent the Son into the world. And then he says to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world." And then he goes to Calvary, he's buried, he's raised again, he makes a beeline to his disciples, and he tells them, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then we ought to go right back here to John 17 and begin our search to understand how did the Father send Jesus into the world. And if you search through, starting there, here's just some of the things you'll find. John 17:2, Jesus was sent as an authority, with authority as an emissary of Almighty Creator God. Verse 2 and 3, that he was given the eternal life of the Father, knowing the Father himself. John 17:4, he was given a specific mission to accomplish and instructions on a daily basis to follow. Verse 8, he was given words of life. Verse 10, he was equipped with all the power of God. Nothing was held back as the Father sent the Son. Verse 11, he was given the mighty name of God and all of the power that came with it and the authority. Verse 13, he was given the joy of God. Verse 14, he was given the reality that he knew and understood that men would hate him. As he was sent from the Father, he understood and knew that the world would hate him. Verse 16, as the Father sent the Son, he sent the Son with the refuge of knowing that heaven is his home. Chapter 17:19, as the Father sent the Son, he sent him with a commission to give his life away. In verse 21, as the Father sent the Son, he sent him with oneness with the Father, with unity with his own heart, and unity with his own mind, and unity with his own presence. In verse 23, the Father sent the Son with the love, the full love and affection of his Father's heart towards his Son. In 17:24, the Father sent the Son with the glory of God given to him from before the creation of the world. In verse 26, the Father sent the Son with the knowledge of God. See, all of this comes down to this one thing. Jesus wanted I myself to be in them. And by being in them as he sends us, as the Father has sent the Son, every way that you find in the scripture that the Father has sent the Son into the world, so Jesus is sending you into the world. And everything that I've just listed and everything that you find is yours because Jesus is in you. And he is sending you. And everything that the Father sent with Jesus, Jesus sends with you as he sends into the world. And that's why it was with that, at that moment, that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because this is what he'd been waiting for. This is what he'd been aiming for. He went to Calvary. He went to the grave. He rose from the grave. He made a beeline to his disciples and he said, "Now this is it. This is what I've been telling you about. As the Father sent me with all of its rights and privileges, everything that I have as the Father sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Now receive the Holy Spirit." And for the first time, the Holy Spirit of God lived inside, made a dwelling place, made a home inside the temple of a person. That curtain was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on Calvary. And it was anticipation of a moment where the Holy Spirit would indwell, would live and reside and make his home inside those who would those who were born again. Let me wrap it up this way. Number one, as I told you, I want this statement, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you," to just land right in the middle of your vision and your perspective. And I would challenge and encourage you, myself, my own heart, to be earnest and eager to understand how the Lord wants to totally and completely take over our life. He's the Lord. He can do that. He demands it. He deserves it. He's worthy. Number two, I want to remind you to use John and Samantha as an example. That John and Samantha are not going to Africa because they are uniquely passionate believers. They're not going because they're young. They're not going because they're married. They're not going because they have no children. They're not going because they have a lot of energy. They're not going for any of the reasons that we might suppose, except for one. John and Samantha are going because they are sent. None of the other factors are relevant. Not for them, not for you, not for me. There's only one factor that's relevant. Jesus is Lord, and he sends us. Who's he sending? All of us. Number three, if you claim Jesus as Lord, then wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go, I don't care if it's going to the grocery store or going on vacation, going to pick up your mail at the mailbox, where you live, what city you're in, how you spend the rest of your life. Some people will say, well, you know, I've lived most of my life. I can't go. So, and I certainly can't go overseas. I would just ask you, says who? Did the Lord say that? I don't think he said that. It doesn't have to be overseas unless he says that, and then it does have to be overseas. It could be just walking to your own mailbox, but listen to me carefully. Wherever you go, wherever you work, you are either going there because you are going where you are sent, like Jesus in the world, or because you're avoiding where you're sent, like Jonah in the whale. Either way, you are sent by the Lord of glory. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, please, take your words, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Take those words and drop them on us. Drop them in the middle of our walkway. Drop them in our home. Drop those words in our work, in our play, in our leisure, in our plans for the day, and the plans for the rest of our lives. Drop those words in our prayer times. Drop those words in our checkbooks. God, please open our eyes to see the Lord, that we will be overjoyed in seeing you and acknowledging that you are the Lord of glory. Please, God, we're asking you to do a work in us that we cannot do. Because we confess, God, like Jonah, we won't go unless your words and your lordship overwhelms and overtakes. And so we're asking, have mercy on us, Jesus. Overwhelm and overtake us. Send us and help us to understand the way in which you intend us to go. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.